Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. John Giermack joins us to talk about weak liberal Christians, Donald Trump, and more. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. You can get involved at Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We have a very special guest, very thoughtful guest, someone who writes prolifically. It's John Giermack. Did I say that right, John? Your last name's a challenge.
Nobody ever has, so it's okay.
It's never been pronounced in the history of your commentary. John, I'm thrilled.
Once a year, the Jewish high priest pronounces my name correctly, but in a room by himself.
John, honored to have you.
It's Zmirak.
Zmirak. Boy, it's going to take all hour. John is super smart. He writes for The Stream, and I encourage you guys to check out his work at stream.org. So, John, several directions we could take there. Why don't you introduce yourself, your work, your scholarship, and we'll go from there.
All right, thanks. Well, I'm a native New Yorker from Astoria, Queens, from not that far away from Donald Trump. And in many ways, it's like when he was in office, it was like having my dad as president. They had the same accent. When I got into Yale, when I was at the same time as Eric Metaxas, my good friend, I had to work hard to get rid of my Queens accent. I didn't even think I had an accent. So I sat there and I went, rain insane, whole thingly on the plane, like trying to talk like Thurston Howell from Gilligan's Island. And I kind of came out with a neutral accent after that. So I got I was the editor of the conservative paper at Yale, made me super popular. Dating was easy. And then I went and got my PhD in literature at Louisiana State University, worked as the press secretary for Mike Foster, who won as the insurgent populist candidate for governor. He was pro-life and pro-gun, so I got the job by proposing the bumper sticker, arm the unborn, with a fetus holding a .45 on a doctor.
Well, that tells you everything you need to know about John. So, John, you have several stories here, and you defend Donald Trump, and you talk about religion, you talk about politics, about culture. There's so much happening that I want to unpack with you. Let's go to this one. Liberal Christians see us as pets who need to be declawed. The last person left supporting New Mexico's gubernatorial gun grab is hapless local Catholic archbishop. Tell us about this piece, John.
Yeah, so by now, the governor, Governor Grisham of New Mexico, has already been forced to climb down. But here's what she did. She said, gun violence is a public health emergency. And when you hear the words public health, you're supposed to curl up in a fetal ball in the corner and just do whatever you're told. It's learned helplessness. The COVID panic experiment was designed to beat learned helplessness into us the way they do with beagles in Fauci's cruel and destructive labs. Many Americans were willing to give away their rights with both hands. Oh, you can lock me in the house. You can close my church. You can have riots, but because they're anti-racist, they promote public health. But you can say my political meetings are super spreader events. You can say my churches are inessential, but your liquor stores, strip joints, and abortion clinics are essential, so they stay open. And you can dump virus patients in nursing homes where they kill tens of thousands of American veterans and grandmothers. But you keep healthy, vigorous kids home from school, and you can use the death statistics that you've pumped up by dumping virus patients in nursing homes. You can use that to say there's a state of emergency, like Whitmer did in Michigan, Cuomo did in New York, Newsom did in California. In Michigan, she locked everyone in their homes. She had people arrested for going out alone on a boat in the middle of a lake. People were arrested for that. Her actions were later ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court of her state, but she wasn't punished. Who was punished? The people the FBI lured into a fake plot to arrest her and hold a trial of her for tyranny.
That's right. So you connect the liberal Christian aspect of this. So kind of square that, put that all together.
During the COVID panic, Andrew Cuomo tried to seize New Yorkers' guns, claiming that they were part of the same public health crisis as COVID. The rhetoric that gun grabbers are using is constantly that of public health. Guns are like viruses. Gun owners are like virus spreaders. If they can take away your right to congregate, to go to church, to have a political meeting, they can also take away your right to carry a gun. No Second Amendment, no First. And my new book coming out from Kalamo Press is called No Second Amendment, No First. And it's about how gun rights in America are not some libertarian thing, some enlightenment thing. They flow directly from the Christian worldview. The Christian worldview says you are a little lower than the angels. You are an image of God. You have rights that are inalienable. You have the right to self-defense, to defend your family, and you collectively have a right to rebel against tyranny. That's how America was founded. America's founders, 90% of whom were Orthodox Christians, Calvinists, or one Catholic. 90% of them were Orthodox Christians. They believed that people had the God-given right to rebel against a tyrannical government. They'd seen the English do that in 1640 and 1688. Now, America's Second Amendment was lifted almost word for word from the English Bill of Rights of 1690. That was the Bill of Rights when they overthrew King James II because they were afraid he would impose Catholicism on the country by force. They brought in his daughter Mary and her husband William, who would be Protestant monarchs, who would govern with Parliament controlling them, a constitutional monarchy. And one of the conditions of them getting the throne was they had to sign this Bill of Rights. And one of the items on that Bill of Rights was that no Protestant could be denied the right to have firearms. They specified Protestant because Calvinists, Puritans, Low Church Anglicans had been persecuted under Charles I and Charles II, and they were afraid of a king persecuting them, closing their churches, killing them, as has happened, as the King Louis XIV had done to Protestants in France. So the connection between religious freedom and gun rights was right there in the English Bill of Rights. They imported it almost word for word to our Second Amendment. And every one of our founders, the Federalists, the Anti-Federalists, the Deists, the Augustinian, the Catholic, all agreed that gun rights were fundamental. They were the backup plan, the break glass in case of emergency clause that would prevent a tyranny from ever coming to power in America. And James Madison actually said, if all the checks and balances, all the constitutional guarantees fail, at least you'll have an armed citizenry, a militia of 2 million that would prevent a tyranny from taking charge. Well, history bore them out. In the 20th century, actually between 1914 and 1990, more than 170 million civilians were murdered intentionally by their governments around the world, not including war casualties. And they only had one thing in common. This was documented by R.J. Rummel in his book, Death by Government. The one common factor of those 170 million victims, they had all been disarmed by the government first. Now, liberal Christians who don't believe fundamentally in the traditional Christian worldview, they've read Darwin and they take Darwin seriously. They believe that we just kind of evolved accidentally from apes and somehow we can still be Christians, even if we believe that God had nothing to do with man evolving. We Christians will we can't say how the world really works. Darwin tells you how the world works. Freud, Marx, they explain how the world works. We're just here to tell you to be nice, to tell you not to be racist, to tell you to be inclusive. That vision of man as just an accidental byproduct of evolution, it doesn't have dignity. It doesn't have rights. It doesn't have – it's not a glimmer of the divine spark. It's just like a termite in a colony that should obey the queen. These Christians, like the Catholic Archbishop of New Mexico, of Santa Fe, who's the only person – to support the gun grab by the governor of New Mexico. I mean, David Hogg condemned it on Twitter as being too over the top. David Hogg thought this was too radical. Her own sheriff, her own attorney general wouldn't defend it in court, wouldn't enforce it. She finally had to withdraw it. The only person who came out for it is Archbishop John Wester of Santa Fe. And why is that?
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you get the feeling that the unthinkable is going to happen soon? Well, I do. Between the distractions and the smokescreens and the media, we probably might not even see it coming. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. That's why it's so smart to invest in emergency food right now. As they say, quote, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. My Patriot Supply is the nation's leader in high-quality emergency food. Head to MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare today with emergency food that will stay fresh for up to 25 years. Enjoy a wide variety of delicious food kits offering over 2,000 calories every day for optimum strength under stress. And don't forget about water filtration and purification products. These are perfect for your bug out bag, survival supply, and camping pack. One thing is for sure in this world, we all need to stock up before panic sets in. Order by 3 p.m. and your item ships the same day, and that is really fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what's coming, MyPatriotSupply.com. John, finish that thought. That now ties in the liberal archbishop.
Orthodox Christianity says that man has a fundamental dignity and has the right to push back against tyranny. It also says that man lives on a very narrow road between heaven and hell, that we're walking on one of two paths. At every moment, we're walking one direction or another, towards God or towards destruction. It says that there's a set of rules that is written on our heart, the natural law, in addition to what was revealed in the Bible and through church tradition about how we're supposed to live. These are very stark and demanding claims, and they sometimes lead the church to get persecuted by the government, as the Catholics were persecuted in Poland under communism, and the Orthodox in Russia. Christians in Germany by Hitler, those who were willing to stand up, those who were willing to denounce the Holocaust. But in Germany, there were a lot of German Christians who were willing to just go along, just keep their voices down and just sing their hymns a little louder and just stick to the gospel, not preach about politics. And those are the people who, according to Eric Bonhoeffer, made the Nazi regime and ultimately the Holocaust possible, because they took their faith and put it in a safe little velvet box and put it up on a shelf. When our churches closed for the COVID tyranny, when the Vatican said that an abortion-tainted vaccine that could only exist because of organs stolen from an aborted baby, when it said Catholics all should get that vaccine, when countless pastors, even conservative evangelical pastors, demanded that everybody get this vaccine. I call it the dead baby vax. They were surrendering. They were saying, we're just kidding. We don't really think Christianity is fundamentally important. We don't really think it's worth taking any risks that might irritate the government, might get our nonprofit contracts with the federal government canceled, that might get us investigated, that might get our tax exemption threatened. No, we are chaplains of the regime, just the way the patriotic church in communist China is. It works with the government. It doesn't push back against the government. So if you are that kind of liberal Christian who doesn't believe in heaven and hell, but is obsessed with the IRS and federal nonprofit contracts, you want everybody to be a timid, declawed cat, a placid little veal calf, just like you, letting the nice people from the government push them around as if we were animals and only those in the government and the elites were actual human beings.
So, John, that begs the question, and I just want to make sure everyone understands, sing your hymns a little louder. That's a real thing that happened. As the trains were going by churches, as the trains were bringing Jews to concentration camps, the churches, this is a real story, they would increase the volume of their hymns to drown out the noise of what they knew was evil. Tell us more about that.
There's a powerful film that my good friend Jason Jones helped to make called Sing a Little Louder, and it depicts this anecdote. A German remembered, told the story 20 years later, of they had a church right by the train tracks leading from Germany into Poland where the extermination camps were, and the train got stuck. And so the cars were there, and you could hear these women and children and old men, some of them heroic war veterans who fought for Germany in World War I, some of them with iron crosses, whom Hitler had criminally arrested and was deporting to murder in Poland. They were crying out for help, and it was disrupting this nice, peaceful Sunday Lutheran church service. And some people were thinking, should we go out and help them? And the pastor knew that would just be suicide. It would get them all killed, and it wouldn't even help the Jews because they'd all be dead. So he just had them sing their hymns about Christian compassion and mercy a little bit louder to drown out the sounds of the Jews on their way to being murdered. When our churches shoved an experimental vaccine in our arm that we didn't need, that wouldn't prevent transmission, that might in some cases diminish some symptoms, that had untold, unknowable side effects because it had never been tested, when they gave it to pregnant women, knowing that's dangerous, when they forced people to take an experimental drug against their will in violation of the Nuremberg principles invented after World War II to prevent Nazi-style experimentation on humans, they were singing a little louder. When churches don't try to protect the unborn, when they don't try to protect all of our rights, including our right to defend ourselves against violence or against a tyrannical government, they are singing a little louder.
They're singing a little louder, trying to drown out the transification of kids, the chemical castration of kids. And in fact, right, it's even worse than that, John. And we're going to play some pieces of tape of the churches that are then flying the equivalent of the Nazi flag today. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. If you guys love this program and you want to support this program, if we have impacted or blessed your life in any way, I want to tell you about a new thing that we are starting it up. First of all, if you have supported us at charliekirk.com/support, nothing to worry about. You guys are going to be moved on over. If you want to support us even more and say, hey, I want exclusive content, I want to talk to Charlie directly, we are standing up this amazing infrastructure. Team's been working so hard at members.charliekirk.com. Not only is it a way to support us directly outside of all of the other channels, but get this, live Q&As with me and the team, articles exclusively written by me that you won't find anywhere else, pre-show prep calls, and more. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. We love bringing our show every day, and we can't wait to bring you even more content that is just for you at the Charlie Kirk exclusive. That's members.charliekirk.com. Head to members.charliekirk.com today. Yes, there's going to be a lot of goodies, a lot of engagement, a lot of fun stuff. But even more than that, if you feel moved and compelled that our show is impacting you and impacting the world, it would mean a lot if you became a member at members.charliekirk.com. So, John, I want to play a piece of tape here of the American church. Worse than just singing louder, drowning out the noise. No, it is a full, this is the Cathedral of Hope in Dallas, which I would find hard to believe. I don't think this is a Catholic church. I don't think.
No, no.
Let's play this. Play cut 44.
We recognize that all people are made in the loving image of God, no matter who they are, how they dress and express themselves, or who they love.
Their incredible contributions to our world. We embrace
that is indistinguishable, John, from...
I'm sorry. I got to pause. That is the funniest damn thing. These people, they could be at a bar drinking whiskey and watching horse racing. They could be doing anything more fun than this grim, miserable ritual of worship before the infernal trinity of Caesar, Mammon, and Sodom. This is one of those dead mainline Protestant churches that started, first of all, they embraced Darwinism and said, Genesis is not true on any level. So God didn't really make man on purpose. There's no original sin. So we didn't really need Jesus to come save us from anything. His death on the cross was just an avoidable tragedy, and it was a real shame. He didn't really rise from the dead, but he comes to life in our spirit when we think about him, kind of like Tinkerbell. If you applaud, Tinkerbell continues to float around. So unfortunately, Pope Francis is remaking my own Catholic Church on the model of these zombie mainline Protestant churches. What's really pitiful is if you look at all these people talking about human potential and unique individuality, they all support aborting babies up through the 9th month of pregnancy. These same people who are blathering on about the unique virtues and authenticity of men who strap on fake boobs, these people are happy to see doctors cut open babies' brains with scissors and cut off their necks. They're happy to see their organs sold by Planned Parenthood to organ trafficking companies and used to make things like the COVID vaccine. They're perfectly happy. They've got blood on their hands, dripping from their hands, and they're washing it like Pontius Pilate in this watery bath of fake tolerance. The only tolerance they have is for sex deviants. They said, we don't want to condemn people because of what they wear. Really? Really? If I wore a Gadsden flag patch or a Confederate patch, would you say the same thing, that we don't want to discriminate against people because of how they dress? No. In fact, they want to fire people if they misgender so-called trans people. They want to control the speech, the actions, the financial transactions of everyone in the country. They're happy to see Sam Brownback stripped of his bank account by Chase Manhattan because Chase Manhattan decided they don't like his politics. These people are the court jesters of tyranny, of globalist, suffocating, micromanaging tyranny led by people like Bill Gates and George Soros, and I have to say Pope Francis. They want to control everything we say and do. They want to ban us from social media. They want to force us to have vaccines, tell us when we can send our kids to school, when we can't. They want to micromanage all of us because they think we're idiots. They think we're animals. And only the elites, the people, I call them the citizens of international business class, the kind of people who go to TED Talks. Those people need to have arbitrary, unaccountable power over the rest of us. And the pretext is always now public health. If you believe in the immortality of the soul, you're not that afraid of death. If you believe that Jesus Christ has saved you, if you believe in Catholic terms, you're in a state of grace, death is just a transition to our ultimate destiny. We're all just passing through. We're all pilgrims on a road. If you're not so sure that God exists, if you kind of hope he exists, if you don't believe in hell and you don't think there's anything to be afraid of, if you don't think that we're in a drama right now, a contest where the stakes are infinite because they're for our mortal souls, then the thing you're going to be most afraid of is not damnation. It's not angering God. You're afraid of death. You've made yourself a coward through your materialistic worldview. For you, death is the worst thing imaginable. So people shouldn't climb mountains, walk tightropes. They shouldn't carry guns. We need to make the world a safe space. Everything has to be surrounded in Nerf. Maybe the speed limit should be 40 miles an hour. Everybody should be vaccinated every 20 or 30 minutes by whatever government says is safe. And of course, the citizens shouldn't be armed. I mean, that makes them dangerous. But here's the really dangerous loophole. there are Supreme Court precedents for suspending vital constitutional rights in the face of a really serious public epidemic. Like you can ban political meetings if typhoid is spreading like crazy. They used that during COVID to take control of every aspect of our lives. Even though COVID wasn't a real pandemic, even though only a tiny percentage of the population were really at risk from death. And by the way, the people who were at risk from death were those in nursing homes, and they dumped virus patients on them to kill them. I call that the blue state nursing home genocide. And if you Google that phrase, you'll see a long series of columns I wrote at stream.org, blue state nursing home genocide. So by using the public health loophole in Supreme Court case law, they decided they can override all of our rights. And now if you read the rhetoric from gun-grabbing organizations, they constantly talk about the public health menace of gun violence. When has a gun ever spontaneously shot anyone? It's human beings committing sins, committing crimes, violating the rights of other human beings who must be judged by a jury of their peers beyond a reasonable doubt and then punished in a prison or with execution. All that old-fashioned language that I'm using is the language of the Christian and Jewish world, the Judeo-Christian worldview from the Middle Ages up through our America's founding, really up and through the 1950s. That's when the pseudosciences of Darwinism and Freudianism combined with the pseudo-economics of Marxism to create the contemporary secular postmodern worldview, which it doesn't have any real room for human dignity. We're all just trousered apes. And yet it doesn't actually follow the Darwinian worldview rigorously. If you are a consistent Darwinian, you're not going to have any room for transgenderism. It's just, at best, a negative mutation. It has no biological value. You're not going to see the point of drag queens. How does that help the species? So what they do is they smuggle from Christianity a few moral taboos, like racism. What is there in Darwinism that condemns racism? Darwin himself wrote to the Reverend Charles Kingsley about how someday the white race will exterminate all the lesser races and this will be better off for it. His nephew, Francis Galton, created the pseudoscience of eugenics, which in America led to the forced sterilization of 60,000 Americans under people who had flunked culturally biased IQ tests. Laws that provided that were written by people like Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, and the Nazis actually borrowed their eugenic legislation from America, from Planned Parenthood, and they brought Harry Laughlin, Margaret Sanger's right-hand man, to Germany on a whirlwind tour and gave him an honorary degree from the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, which was then Nazi-controlled, thanking him for the part that he and Planned Parenthood had played in inspiring the Nazi eugenics legislation that led to the sterilization and euthanasia of thousands of Germans who they regarded as inferior. The left doesn't want to talk about that now because it's embarrassed. But the new pseudoscience is transgenderism. And it's castrating people, sterilizing people. It's corrupting children. But it is the one area where they maintain some notion that human beings are different from the animals. Because if you had an animal that was chewing off its own genitals, you would take it to the vet and you would get some kind of treatment so it stopped doing that. Only human beings have the Promethean power to decide, I was born in the wrong body. You know what, Charlie? I was born in the wrong body. I identify as 6'3". And I demand everyone treat me that way. Yeah, I want to play for the NBA.
I define as a wolf. That's actually a thing. I think it's called lycanthrophobia. Is that right? lycanthropy, a mental disorder in which the patient believes they're a wolf. So, John, to the liberal Christians out there that are pushing this nonsense, the trans stuff, the woke agenda, how should we handle that? What should our approach be? This is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. It is increasing. It is accelerating. They have captured more institutions, more seminaries?
Right.
Let's walk us through this, John.
They are preaching a new gospel, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. St. Paul called people who do that antichrists. We have to be willing to say that. We have to say that these people are the priests of Baal, of the new fertility cult. What did Elijah do with the priests of Baal?
He slit their throats. Well, he also did that too. Yeah, but
after he miraculously, but first he.
I'm not recommending that. For the record, I said this when Driscoll was on. Peaceful, stay peaceful, everybody. But it's true, Elijah did cut their throats. But
no, he fought them by the means that were socially acceptable at the time. We have to use the means that are socially acceptable now. We have to defeat them. We have to mock them. First, mock them. Because they are ridiculous. Think of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, a bunch of fat, middle-aged loser guys dressing up like female prostitutes. They look terrible. They look ridiculous. They look disgusting. Don't suppress your natural disgust that at these loser, weirdo freaks who want to dress up like prostitutes in front of children. Don't suppress that natural revulsion. When your gorge rises and you want to vomit, that is God, that God made you to be disgusted by that kind of loathsome, degenerate behavior. One of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who was honored by the Los Angeles Dodgers, was just arrested for sitting around in his car in a parking lot masturbating. These are the kind of people that the left is trying to make into heroes. So once you recognize these people are not preaching the gospel of Christ, but the gospel of Antichrist, you need to really, really assimilate that. They're not just a little bit off. They're not well-meaning but misguided. They are teaching a new religion. They are setting up a golden calf for everyone to worship. Pope Francis just promoted this priest, Antonio Spadaro, a Jesuit, who is a rabid leftist. He wrote a column in 2017 saying the whole pro-life movement and conservative Christian movement was motivated by racism against blacks, not trying to stop abortion, not trying to stop pornography. It's all just thinly veiled racism against blacks, even black pro-lifers, I guess. That priest, Antonio Spadaro, gave a sermon 2 weeks ago in which he accused Jesus Christ of committing sins. He said that Jesus Christ was a racist who was bigoted against his non-Jewish neighbors, and that the story of the Canaanite woman who asked him for a miracle to heal her daughter, when he says, you know, don't give the bread of the children of Israel to the dogs, and he basically tests her faith. This is a woman who's a member of the Canaanite fertility cult that used to sacrifice infants. So she is a member of a demonic religion. She doesn't know it, but she in fact worships demons. And she comes to Jesus asking for a miracle for her daughter to be healed of being possessed by one of those demons they had been worshiping in the family. And Jesus makes her jump through some hoops and then gives her a miraculous healing. Father Spadaro said this was an example of Jesus committing the sin of racism and then repenting.
What?
So these people are willing to judge Jesus. They are higher than Jesus. They're not just higher than the Bible or higher than the church. They can judge Jesus Christ himself. That level of demonic hubris can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. That's the kind of thing that requires exorcisms. This is what we're dealing with. This kind of Luciferian hubris, where these people think, they can't just judge St. Paul. They can't just denounce the Old Testament God as if he were a different God. They can judge Jesus himself and condescend to Jesus because Jesus didn't go to Harvard. Jesus didn't go to Sidwell Friends School. Jesus never had a TED Talk. Jesus didn't get counseling and therapy that could have healed his traumatic past so that he could have been more integrated, holistic, and he would have been willing to dress and drag. So once you get people willing to judge and criticize Jesus Christ himself, they're not Christians. You need to just say you're not a Christian. You are a member of a sex cult.
That's I love it. John, we've got to have you back. We're out of time. Check out thestream.org. It's stream.org. Amazing. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs as we know the story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.